Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, back with another installment of the podcast all about robbery. Over here touching stuff during the introduction. I can't even get through the introduction.
You said I couldn't interrupt women?
Not in the beginning. Look, he couldn't wait to interrupt a woman. Do y'all hear this? I haven't even introduced this man yet. The podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Sometimes we love them, sometimes we hate them. As you can see, y'all, I'm already very what? Yes, excited, thrilled, elated to have this hilarious comedian in the room. Can't even stop being funny for a second while I do his intro. So you know it's going to be a ride today, y'all. This Detroit native started doing comedy at 16 years old and never looked back. You can catch him performing regularly at comedy venues all over Los Angeles, including the Laugh Factory and the world-famous Comedy Store. Congregation, please welcome Trey Stewart to the show. Hello, Trey.
Hey, it's good to... Can I speak now?
Yes, welcome. Well, now that I have welcomed you... Okay, I'm doing morning announcements at the church, and you over here interrupting. Now I don't know when Wednesday night prayer meeting is.
Hey,
y'all Venmo me for the location of Wednesday night prayer meeting, okay? Just put $2 for prayer, and
Won't
then I'll let... Willie Wonnie, and Wonnie will, okay? Amen. we were talking off air, Trey, that like when I, because we shared Josh Lieberman as a manager, and he hit me up. He was like, you know, Trey's so funny. Like, I can't believe he hasn't been on the podcast. And yeah. I was like, yo. So then I started looking up your stuff, because that's what we do with straight men on this podcast. We do have to vet them.
Well, you have to vet.
And,
yeah,
you know, make
course.
Sure. Because like, I love this about y'all, though. Y'all have some confidence where it's just like, I'll just be here and be a man and do nothing.
Yeah.
And I've had to cancel episodes because of that.
Really?
Or gotten dragged. By the congregation. Y'all doing too much dragging these days. Please. Go
too
fight
much?
Them people on that other people show. Y'all know who I'm talking about. But so I was looking it up and I was like, wait, I have met this man before.
Yes. Technically.
Yeah. We met a version of each other.
Yes.
Don't allude into this. It's not even what you think. The SNL after parties.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That wasn't too long ago. That was when I was there for the live show, y'all, in Brooklyn. Hey. But yeah, so it's good to see you again.
You too, yeah.
Yes.
And I'm definitely less drunk this time.
I too am sober.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, was that a time. There was some kind of stalker man at that party too, right? Do you remember
that's
that?
Right. Some guy wouldn't leave you alone.
And I was like, pretend to talk to me right now, because he just kept showing up everywhere. And I was like, okay, sir, please.
So did he follow you to New York, or was he already there?
I don't know who that was. Live wow. in New York is stalker. Yeah. Stalker denied.
Live from New York.
No, I hope not. No, but yeah, he kept running around. Y'all, be
so what happened
less
to
weird.
That?
Well, you were the last. Like, that was when he left me alone.
Oh, good.
You know
okay,
how sometimes
yeah.
you can be like, no, thank you, Mr. Man. And they'd be like, well, I don't see anybody around here who owns you, lady. And so then I was like, pretend to own me so this man will go away. And he was like, oh, there's a man around. Somebody owns her.
Yeah. That's so funny. That's all it takes. Yeah. It's, oh, I don't see another man.
Right, because sometimes you'd be like, and I am bi. I can't say too much without telling too much. But yeah,
right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah, so it's like I couldn't go find a woman and be like, oh, we together. They'd be like, that's still for me.
That is so interesting. You know, I don't have that problem as a man. I don't think it works the same way.
Wow, shocker. Wow.
That would be great.
This is so enlightening. Yeah. Wow, top of Scam Goddess. And we're getting all new facts we've never heard before.
Yeah, you know, I wish it did work.
All the
way.
Women folk out there. But yeah, on this podcast, we always ask, what's your relationship with scams? Do you love them? Do you hate them? Have you ever been scammed? Run any that are past the statute of limitations you could talk about?
No, all of mine are still going, so I don't want to get into that.
Nothing's still going.
Yeah, they're currently. But I do have a long history with or relationship with scams. I mean, I grew up religious. You know, I follow politics. So it's like there's a lot, which I don't think that it's a scam if you get something out of it. Or rather, I think that's a good scam.
I agree. If you walk away feeling happy or satisfied about the situation, then I don't think you've been scammed.
Absolutely, right. So I don't agree when people call religion a scam, because a lot of people get something out of it.
Exactly. You know? I think it can be a scam, and absolutely in a lot of facets is a scam, especially when you get into the big corporate mega churches of it all.
It's definitely
which
a scam.
I'm not trying to take away their tax exemption, because I'm going to start a church at some point. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to get involved.
You should, yeah.
But y'all will leave with something. I'm very much leaving with something. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, if you go to church, and I go to church from time to time, and I'm a Bedside Baptist, and if I feel like I got a word and I feel better about my day spiritually, then it's something. I like astrology. I don't take it all, but you know, if Mercury and microwaves and that's affecting my week, then you know.
Yeah, it is. Oh, no.
Yeah, it is right now.
Yeah, that's right. I know I felt a little off. Something's
she's
happening.
In Gatorade. Yeah. she is. So, okay, I agree with you. But have you ever had someone scam you or realize something might be a scam?
Not really, not personally, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
A flex.
Well, I'm just very, because I got into politics super early, at early age, and that kind of changed my.
How were you involved in politics?
Oh, just reading about it and like got involved, like, you know, at first I was like a hardcore kind of whatever you told me, I'll believe it. And then you start getting into the policies of people and you realize that, oh, what they're saying doesn't actually always match what they're doing. So to me, that's, you know, a bit of a scam.
If you start looking at their voting records, like, if you start looking at who's funding their campaigns,
you
quickly realize that it's corrupt all over.
It's correct. And a lot of the stuff that, you know, people get in trouble for, they were allowed to do it. Like, you know, Epstein, right? Yeah. Like, that was allowed to happen for a long time. I mean, everybody knew it. And then he didn't, you know, well, he went to jail. And then he killed himself, which is like...
Quotes, That's a conspiracy theory I also subscribe to. It's like, did he really...
Of course.
And then Ghislaine just got to take the fall by herself. What's really going on?
Come on, right.
She should be in there. I'm just saying she shouldn't be alone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and she's still alive, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much
That's
so.
That's wild. Yeah, what's that about?
I mean, I think it's just a different set of circumstances. Like, he had a lot... He had dirt on everybody.
Yeah.
On everybody, which is part of the reason why he was able to, like, skirt the charges and stuff. Like, we don't want to get too dark on the show, but, like, skirt those charges for so long. Because it wasn't the first time that they had been brought up.
Yeah.
But it was like he had everybody in his pocket.
Yeah. He did, absolutely. Speaking of that, the black black Epstein Diddy.
Oh, Lord. The diddler.
The diddler. God. Yeah, when I saw that was... That when I saw that was trending, I was like, that is, the internet remains undefeated. Like,
truly. Somebody tweeted me and was like, you know what, Lacey, you did say somebody with too many names, definitely a scammer. I was like, yeah, the man changed his name every 5 minutes.
Absolutely,
right? Because he was Puffy, Puff Daddy. No, he was Puff Daddy, then he was Puffy, then he was Sean Puffy Combs, then he was Diddy.
Yeah.
And then he started going by Love.
What, Love? I didn't even know that
one. Oh, yeah. You miss Love? You miss the Love area? Yeah, Love.
Oh, no. Brother Love, right?
Brother Love, Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had a lot of names. He was going by Sean John at one point. I thought that was just the brand. I guess he was calling himself Sean John at one point. I thought that was just the brand. But yeah, you know, that's criminal behavior. Why you gotta change your name so much?
Yeah. Something's up.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you do the crime, eventually things come to the light, Jeff. But there's so many scams in politics. And like, that's why I used to be a hardcore, like, leftist too. And now I'm somewhere in, like, everybody's robbing me, you know?
They are. Yeah, absolutely.
Our last campaign for Joe Biden was Leg 2020 because he said he was going to get police to stop shooting people. Trump said, let's shoot him in the heart. And Joe Biden said, you know what? What if we start shooting him in the leg? And I was like, these are our options, y'all. Shot to the heart, shot to the leg.
I'll
and now
take it.
He running again and I'm like, I don't even know. What are we, like, he not dead? Is that it?
I mean, I think he's definitely, like, technically not dead, but running on fumes. He's, I mean, this very, guy.
Hey, y'all, he's alive enough.
Yeah, somebody said I'd rather vote for the dead corpse of Biden than Trump.
It's okay, and there
which
it is.
Yeah, that's where we're at, literally.
And that is so sad.
Yeah.
And you know, sorry, Gen X, I'm back on your head. This is your fault. Like, why are y'all not running for office? Y'all's whole generation just I know y'all latchkey kids, but it's time to come home, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Tuesday, November 2024, where are your Gen Xers?
I don't know.
Do you know where your Gen Xers are? I don't know where mine are.
They're on TikTok.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all were the generation where they had them commercials talking about it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your key is at? That was them. Never home. It's time to come home, Gen X, and run the country. Okay? Yeah. Take it away from the boomers. We can't do this anymore.
They're holding on to it. These boomers, they will not die.
You heard about a death grip, baby.
Yeah, rigor mortis. That's why we can't take it from Biden because he's dead.
You're gonna pry it out of my cold dead hands. So like, we're trying. We literally are trying right now to pry it.
Yeah.
Now we all know how hard that is. I never realized that statement really has such weight to it. Like, you're gonna have to pry it out of my cold dead hands. Like, really,
we see it.
Yeah, it's hard to.
Yeah.
It's actually very difficult.
Yeah.
So, you know, pray for all of us.
For sure, yeah. But you got to, yes. Yeah, I think you have to be very desensitized to scams. If you follow that, like, politics, even a little bit.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, it's a lot of grandstanding and theater. We call D.C., like, you know, the political arena, like Hollywood for ugly people. Because there's just, like, a bunch of actors who are just, like, not that hot. And, you know, they get up and they do their stump speeches and they curl their finger over because pointing, I guess, is an aggressive measure. So you have to, like, make a little knuckle. And
it is, yeah.
Gesture.
The Obama.
Yeah, the Obama thing, knuckle. Now, everybody was doing it before him, but he has such long fingers. He took it to the next level. He put some sazon on it.
He did, yeah. He had those basketball fingers.
So he felt really. It was almost given a trigger. It was like, is he?
Subliminally.
Is he throwing a blicky? Like, I wish y'all could see me right now. Definitely that. All of that. I agree with you there. Scams!
Close your eyes. Open your mind. And imagine. Upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials. Aren't you all of a sudden Diane Keaton walking on a sand beach thinking about your life? Yes, you can get this kind of luxury with unbeatable prices at Quince because they're here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within your grasp, honey. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. Y'all know I have the silk tops. I actually just went back and got the washable silk slip dresses. I got one in red, I got one in cream, and I got one in black because I'm about to be out here stunting in my quiet luxury. Y'all know I love the sweatsuits. I actually went back and got the sweatsuit in blue and pink, and I got the shorts. They got shorts to match with the sweatsuit too, so when it's hot girl summer, I can have my thighs out, but my arms can be warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hoochies never get cold. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/goddess.
If you're a person with titties, bras are so uncomfortable and constricting, and now we finally like have something that's changing. That Skims is changing. That Skims bras, they're worth the hype. They're amazing, the shape, the support that they give, but also they're, like I said, comfortable with you on your nipple. Okay. I love the Fits Everybody bra in Onyx, which is like the black one. Like, that's normally like the clothes that I'm wearing and stuff. But like, I also really love the wireless form push-up plunge bra because, you know, you sometimes you gotta give a little cleave, a little titty, okay? You know what I mean? Make it cute. So shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes, 38 to 46 H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Cut!
Well, you know what? We're going to get into our first segment here. What's Hot in Fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams in the zeitgeist. And more often than not, we get a letter from you all. As always, snitch on your friends, family, and your enemies at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired because we don't want to what? Yes. Fuck up your bag. Amen. So, Trey, I just need a fake name for this person. We don't care about gender. It could be anything.
Ghislaine.
No.
Why?
No, that name is tainted. No one can name their kid.
I hope. It's a good. Like, it's kind of like Adolf. You're right. It's
yeah. Done. Yeah. Nobody named their kid Adolf no more. They don't slap.
Yeah. No. Okay. What about?
And I never judge the name. I think that's the first time in the history of the show that I've said no to a name.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm all about making history, you know.
You are.
I'm a trendsetter.
You already are. Yeah.
Okay, how about Barry?
Barry. Okay, yes. Like Barry. Not y'all nodding y'all head in the producer room. Yeah. We'll take Barry. We like Barry. So Barry says, flowers at the end of the note. Oh, Barry, you've been listening. Longtime listener. Hey, Barry. I'm writing about a scam that I got roped into as a kid. I was like 11 or 12. I was in grade 7 through 12 charter school. Where did you go to school at that you call a grade 7 through 12? But it's a charter school, so they don't have the typical, like, what is it, like K through... When does preschool and then middle school and then high school?
Yeah.
But charter schools kind of do it a little different, I think.
But they don't go all the way up to 12?
Yeah, they go all the way. I'm just saying how they aggregate it. Because you know, middle school would be like 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I think some charter schools.
I went to Detroit Public School.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so.
Oh, you made it out.
I did, yeah. You're like, yeah, I almost didn't make it here. I'm like.
A story of triumph.
Absolutely, yeah.
How was it in Motor City?
Yeah.
I can only think of Motown. I truly don't. Yeah. That and, what was that song? Oh, it's so cold in the deep.
Yeah, yeah.
How the fuck do we supposed to get peace?
Yeah.
that's all I know about Detroit.
You covered it. You know enough.
I think I hit
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Cars.
Right?
Yeah, that Eminem. I mean, I don't know. It's...
Oh, right,
culturally,
the 8 Mile, where that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it is, but it's, yeah.
You've
Aretha,
heard of it, yeah.
Motown.
Yeah. There it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cars.
Cars, that's it. Cars, Motown, and
Golden
a lot of,
D,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eminem, I think we covered it. That's Detroit history. Detroit, I might be out there soon.
Really?
Y'all gonna have to show me y'all have people living there.
Absolutely, yeah. Come get some Detroit-style pizza.
What is Detroit-style
pizza? It's pizza where you get shot. That's a choice. No, it's not. It's actually pretty good.
Oh my God, Trey,
no, it's not that yet.
I've only heard of like Chicago and New York talking about their pizza. No one has ever uttered the words Detroit style pizza
That's
to me.
That's probably why it's dangerous.
Oh,
you don't want to do it. You don't want it. Somebody offers you Detroit style, you're like, I'm good.
No, not the blinking. Yeah, I don't want pepperoni. I don't want blue cheese and bullets pizza. I don't want that.
No.
Okay. Well, all right. Wait, is there really a Detroit style
pizza?
There
is. It's actually kind of like deep dish.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's square and it is really good. We actually had some last time. I think me and Punky.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last time we were there.
Oh, okay.
And they were actually shocked. I was like, oh, this is really good.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It kind of do look a little busting because sometimes I feel like Chicago style pizza, that's a lasagna. And I'm just like, please stop telling me this is pizza. I need a fork and a knife and a spoon. Like, what are we
doing?
Pasta.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this almost gives me like grandma style
pizza.
That's what I also hear this kind of looking pizza called. Yeah, it's good. Okay. Yes. So, how we got there, you'll never know. So Barry says, I was in grade 7 through 12 charter school and got into musical theater and acting. My mother was thrilled at the idea of monetizing this and always ranted about how I could be famous because I looked like a model. Okay, Barry, you better be a baddie. Okay. So she was the prime target for scammers running an acting class for kids, hand selected in quotes. So I love that your mom was like, yes, get my child employed. I made a good looking freeloader. Yeah. Let's get them on the block. Put them shoes on, girl. The sun will come out tomorrow. Get to tapping. My mom was the opposite. I was like, my mom, I want to be a star. And she was like, you can take some acting classes, but I am not about to like go live in my car for you or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that that's what we would have had to do, but I think that's what she saw on TV. And she was like, I'm not giving up my life for you.
Well, yeah, it's dangerous too. I think a lot of parents would be like.
That's also, she was like, I want you to be a kid as long as possible. And then if you're an adult and you still want to go into this depraved field.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I do.
Give it, but you at least you thought about it. Yeah. It is kind of dangerous. I mean, the Nickelodeon
doc. Oh, it's extremely
dangerous. You see that? The Nick doc?
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I do know a lot of former child stars. Yeah. So I know some who got out okay, and I know some who very much did not. So
me too. Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a risk to put your kids on the block. So, you know,
but
think about
that. You got
to
do what you got
to do. Do you have to do that?
Hey, if I have kids and they're not making money by 8, I'm starting over.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I do. If I do have children, they do need to be able to dance for their dinner.
Right.
It's just like earn your keep. You know what I mean? Like,
come on. Yeah. What do you think this is?
Get the kids out here. Get them employed. So
absolutely. Yeah, we are for child labor.
We are.
I think that's what we're getting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Lower the age. I want to go in the grocery store and it would be paper or plastic. This car was declined. I have to cut it up.
Yeah, put them to work.
Put those babies
to work. It builds character.
It does. It builds all the character. Mm-hmm. So her mom, or Barry's mom, whatever the gender here, was like, yes, put my baby on the block. So they were they fell for this acting class, basically, because they were basically the prime target, wanting to make their kids famous. So there was a scammer running an acting class for kids they hand-selected, in quotes.
Okay.
Yeah, they hand-selected anybody who had a checkbook. They said, oh, you got, is that cash? You know what this kid's
got
potential.
It is money. That's what it is.
Yes, it is
you
money.
Got it.
The kid, it. You got it,
you
and
got
the it is a payments. You got payments. Weekly? Oh, yeah, yeah. This kid has it. So the kids would do classes and get footage for their portfolios. Some of them were also chosen by an affiliated production company to film what they said were small commercial clips. The class was expensive, in all caps, Barry says. Barry says, I believe it was around $1,000 per kid. My family had like no food the whole summer, and I was doing these classes. The idea was that it would be invaluable for our careers and launch us as stars. So Nacho was a starving baby artist, Barry. Not the starving baby artist. I feel like as an adult starving artist, okay, that's your choice. But as a child, I feel like you shouldn't be starving like Marvin for the movies.
Absolutely, yeah. What's the parents? What are you doing?
Yeah, but that's the allure sometimes. Like that's the thing about like desperation or a need or, you know, wanting to better your circumstances. Like a lot of people see entertainment or sports or, you know, these kind of lanes as an easier way out of their financial situation.
And you know what? That's a good point. Actually, I remember early on, because I did start at 16. I started pretty early, but I remember my family.
Yeah, you was a kid on the block.
I was, yeah. I was out here. See, oh, yeah. Several people told me I had it. You know, but I was poor, so I was safe. I didn't fall into any scams.
So you knew that it was really it.
Yeah. That's why I never felt like I didn't have any money. You know what I mean? But I remember my family was always like, don't go to Hollywood. You know, it's a scam. They see Hollywood as a big scam.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's not, you can really work your way to a place where you can actually make money. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a part of that environment, then it really is foreign. And anything foreign, I think they don't really trust.
Yes. And I love that you brought that up, Trey, because a lot of times, like when you see these news articles or like you hear about the Diddy's or, you know, these kind of predators in the Hollywood spaces, which obviously there are plenty, it gets, I think, in people's minds in flyover states or smaller towns or people who don't live in LA in general think like, oh, there's this perversion that's just run amok. Yeah, absolutely. There's drugs, there's sex, there's alcohol, there's a lot of weird bad stuff happening here. But baby girl, that's happening right up the street from you too. Okay?
Absolutely.
Your youth pastor is doing it, the soccer coach rubbing on people's calves too long. You know what I mean? Like, it's happening everywhere. Like, I had a friend who's like worked in an accounting firm, and she was like, we were fresh out of college, and one of the guys there just kept showing her his penis. And she was like young. She was like 21. She didn't know what to do. Yeah, that's all. And it's like, that's happening at the accounting firm, baby. Like, it's happening everywhere.
Right.
So it's just here.
So you may as well get in a movie. If somebody's going to show you your penis, you may as well be a star, right? If that's what I'm getting. If some
we don't
creepy
have to go
guy
back to accounts payable after we get assaulted, okay? No, but not to say that it's right anywhere. It's just that I feel like
it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. And that's more of what I would like to destigmatize and trying to say that it's not like that. It's okay that it's happening everywhere. It's not. It's just like I wish people would pay more attention to their neighborhoods as well.
And the values that your parents instill, I think the values that mine instilled in me helped me to kind of navigate what could otherwise be a very
Yeah, there's some things that are unavoidable. My parents definitely helped me out of a lot of situations, but I still ended up in a lot of bad situations too. We're not gonna get into that, y'all. We keep it light over here. but to wrap up on that note, though, yeah. There were some situations where, you know, somebody will offer me something, and I was like, ain't nothing for free. Like, what's going on? Like, yes. I've talked about on this podcast how this man like was like, oh, I'm gonna put you in this movie that was already out.
Right.
I looked it up on IMDb. This movie was
already out.
Yes, and he got on a phone call and pretended that he was talking to somebody, and he was putting me in the movie. Yes. People are wild. People will do wild things. Y'all know that if you listen to this podcast religiously. So I won't rehash, but yes, Trey, like they people are crazy. But yeah, so this is an easy way to prey on people is telling them you're going to make their dreams come true. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't want to say that this is an easy way to become successful. It's just a quicker way to climb socioeconomic status. Right. Like, because like, yeah, you can work really hard and go to college and get a lot of debt. And maybe you get a job that's, you know, pays well enough for you to pay that debt off and mm-hmm. move up a social class. But it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
But if you can rise to some kind of stardom, it's a lot of hard work, but the pay comes much faster than if you were to take some kind of traditional method, especially if you didn't start out with, you know, at first base.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or it at takes third. Work.
Yeah. And also, they say college is a scam.
Oh, yeah. They saying, so. y'all, did y'all hear? They saying now, if you at work, and I'm speaking black women specifically, because y'all love to go get a master's degree. I don't know why this is the black woman midlife crisis, but we love to be like, you know what? That man didn't treat me right. I'm going to get my master's degree. Hold on. Like, we love to go get a master's degree. But they're saying, do not get any higher form of education on the job unless your job is paying for it, and saying that it is going to level you up, like in your profession. Because if you're paying to go get advanced further education while you're working out of your own dime because you think it's gonna, you know, give you some upward mobility, that ain't happening no more.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. That's
they're not hitting the same.
Sucks. Yeah.
The masters, they not mastering.
They not mastering.
I mean, get them if you want. I love higher education. I'm just saying, if you get in for the sole purpose of trying to like move up the ranks in your profession, get it if your job's paying for it.
If
don't
they
pay for,
pay for it, if it's free,
then right. It's for me.
Yes,
I get a master's degree right now.
If it's
that's they crazy. Them out.
If it's free, it's for me.
Yes, y'all see me right next to y'all in class. Like what? What he say about chapter 4? What you put down?
Yeah,
they said it was free, so I came because it was for me.
That's right.
So the scammer in charge, Barry says, was a kind of washed up former child star. Damn, Barry. Barry named names. They clocked.
My, I love that. It's like, yeah, I did a thing years ago.
And that now I got connected. Listen, I took a commercial class from a man who had done, like, he would show us his commercials. And he was in, like, Olympic commercial and all these commercials. But they were, like, in the 80s. So these commercials look like hella, like, you know, grainy and shit. But that was his claim. And now he charges, like, $600 a pop. That was back, like, 5 years ago. He probably charges more to take a class on commercial acting to audition for TV commercials.
Well, it's funny to give. It's like, is that updated information? He's like, first, get out your Thomas guide and...
right. Listen, he did have some old tricks. Some of them I do use, like in a chemistry test. He was like, always bring gum to the waiting room. Because I don't audition for commercials anymore. But when I did, he was like, always bring gum to the waiting room. You know, offer people some gum. It's a great conversation starter.
That's actually like, pretty good. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he was like, if you're doing a chemistry test or something, like ask the person beforehand, like, is it okay if I touch you on the shoulder, like the top of the shoulder? And if they say yes, like you can touch them to create more familiarity when y'all are reading together, which makes you look more like a family and more like you like each other, know each other.
That's
and some
smart,
of that stuff, like if I have a chem read, I'll ask like the other actor, like, is it okay if I touch your shoulder? If it's necessary. And then, yeah, sure, you know, and then it like creates more of a, you know.
Right. Yeah, it makes it more authentic. That's actually great.
Yeah, that was great. Okay. Listen, Mike has some, he has some tips.
So
she used this as her claim to fame, right? And said that she had insider connections, blah, blah, blah. This is in parentheses. Barry says, there are some other complaints on this internet to back it up. Yeah. So, Barry says, I was one of the kids selected to be in the class and got, in quotes, the part of the commercials, which was supposedly kind of separate slash we aren't supposed to mention it in front of other kids. So basically now was like, you're special because your mama's paying these you checks. Got money. And also, Barry, you might also be special too. Two things can be true. Yeah, I've been scammed right. and I am very talented. So I'm not going to take that from you, Barry, yes, okay? Yeah. But the mama had the checks come in on the 1st and the 15th. Like, y'all mm-hmm. might have been having ramen every night, but them checks,
yeah,
they had it, okay, in the bank account. And so also, I love this hierarchy system because it's so great in scams mm-hmm. where you tell somebody like, oh, well, you're in a special secret program, but don't tell the other kids because they'll feel bad because they don't have any talent.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how they create. Yeah. It's hierarchy. That always goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Because scams, that's yeah. how you get people to stay involved in a scam is give mm-hmm. them a little bit of upward mobility. Give Make them a little bit of status.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all love yeah. a little status, yeah. honey.
Also, we're getting a cult. Territory too. Mm-hmm. That's how, yeah.
A little bit. I mean, that's how they keep them in.
Yeah.
But everything's got mild attributes of a cult. I mean, listen, yeah. when I got my platinum medallion card from Delta, I was like, look at me. Oh, that just means I spent a lot of money on flights.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That means that we robbing you real good. We've had to send you a card in the mail because we don't want you to go.
That's they make you feel means. Special.
Yeah.
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 And so listen, you keep spending
they
money.
Got me. They got me for life, probably.
But it does come with benefits.
Perks. Yeah, it yeah. comes with benefits. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's why I'm going to stay in the cult, you know? They'll be like, cult members, platinum, diamond, ruby, medallion, plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Samsonite. And I'm like, that's me. Move out of my way, peasants.
Samsonite.
Get out of my way. Do we have a garnet? Yes, that's me. Garnet emerald. Gold medallion? Yes, that's me. Move out of my way, poors.
Oh,
it's
man.
My time.
Yeah, well, poor people shouldn't even be allowed on planes.
Oh, that's changed. You ever heard Janelle James' joke about bus people on planes?
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
That's one of my favorite jokes in her stand-up special. Yeah, yeah, she said, nah, the planes have changed. Just bus people on here now. Is she not wrong? People
Absolutely.
Taking their shoes off. They fighting yeah. the flight attendants on the regular. Shout out to anybody who's a flight attendant out there because I did not know y'all had to know how to save a life, open the plane up in case of emergency, serve yeah. all the drinks and the food, and beat the shit out of your customers.
And have hands, yeah.
And have hands. You yeah. have to have hands. It's like they're like Popeye's employees, but with nicer uniforms.
Right.
Yeah. They're like Waffle House employees, but in the sky.
They'll fuck you up, yeah. But also, yes. they give you some water.
Right, they yeah. will, yes.
Also, it's dangerous, too. Like, planes are falling apart these
Oh,
days.
Yeah, the planes aren't really planning like they used
they
to.
They not, yeah.
And you know they was trying to blame that on DEI?
Yeah, what does that have to do with anything?
They said there's too many DEIs at Boeing, and that's why the plane, like, the wheel's falling off. And I'm like, what? Okay, first of all, I love that that's the new pejorative. They was calling yeah. us wokes for a minute. That wasn't slapping either. They want to go back to the N-word so bad. We're basically in the Russian doll era of nigga. And
they're circling their way back.
They're like, it just hit so good. That was one that they hit. We were like, that's why we took it, because you yeah. can't have it, because it kind of yeah. slapped, and we had to take it away from you.
But exactly. That's us. Appropriating white culture, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. If that's the cornerstone, baby, we got some problems. But
the only thing the white man ever produced.
They hit it with that one, though. But yeah, so they're calling us DEIs now.
Interesting.
And, yeah, okay. And they don't want to blame, like, the tech bros and everyone squeezing these companies for record profits. And that's what's really, right. that's why the wheel's falling off of the plane.
Yeah, it's cutting corners. It's yeah. It. I mean, the guy died recently. It was a whistleblower. You see about that?
Yeah.
You hear about that? I forgot his name.
What a coincidence this is.
You know what? He must have just woke up and realized he was wrong.
Yeah, he just woke up dead. That's yeah, all. It had nothing to dead. Do with Boeing.
Nothing, yeah.
Actually, on his deathbed, he said he was like, psych.
He said April Fool's.
Yeah, he said April Fool's.
He's an early, like, April Fool's.
Yeah,
show.
He said, I'm just trying to get ahead of it because everybody going to do it on April 1st. But
interesting, yeah.
Everything good, is yeah. good on the planes. Don't even worry about that, sweetheart.
Yeah.
The doors are staying on, the windows staying closed, the wheels mm-hmm. are wheeling.
They turning, yeah.
Yeah, turning yeah. and not flying off.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't even worry
on.
About that. Yeah,
Don't
that was wild.
It.
Kev on stage had a funny joke about that. He got on a plane. He was like walking on, so he's like touching the outside of the plane and like slapping the doors and stuff. He was like, "This is how you gotta check the Boeings when you get on now."
You gotta like you're kicking tires. You kick the tires.
Somebody
and
said,
shit.
"Pop the nozzle. Look under the hood."
You have to.
You have to.
You have to, yeah.
Y'all, start looking under the hood of your planes, okay? Because it's getting wild out here, okay?
Yeah.
You can't cut corners on a plane. It's in the sky. So, Barry says that, you know, they were chosen to be in the special class that they couldn't tell the other kids about with
the
commercials.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They got it, and mm-hmm. they got the higher level of it. They better than all the other normies who will never make it in this town. So there were some immediate red flags. Like, the classes were held in a shitty office in the Tenderloin of San Francisco. Oh, Lord, not the Tenderloin. Not y'all got the baby stepping over just the saddest of circumstances.
Yeah.
Lord. And when I would shoot the commercial at Pier 39, weirdly, the director, in quotes, was also also one of the class coaches from the supposedly separate thing. And they even put a red flag emoji here. So the commercial that they were shooting was on Pier 39. And weirdly enough, the director of the commercial, who was like, action, also worked for the studio.
Okay, multiple jobs, multiple.
Yeah, okay, that could be multiple streams of income. Okay. I don't think that's super weird.
It's
definitely
it might be a sign. It's like half of a.
But it's not that weird because a lot of times, like, I know actors who, like, I've worked with on television shows, but then I can go to my self-tape studio and they'll be reading there for people. You know, we're like, it's a gig economy. So depending on how you're working, you know, you might have several gigs.
Especially with them not paying people.
Oh, yeah. And they love to not pay people. That's their favorite thing to do. They're like, we want our work on time. We will give you our money late.
Facts.
And if you ask for your money, we'll be like, why are you poor? Why do you need money? You know, you're not good with your money. You're not saving. So you did this job because you needed the check to come.
Have you ever tried not being poor?
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, you should manage your money better. Do you have any stonks? You need to get some stonks on the stonk market because you too poor. Talk about you want your money in 30 days. That's crazy. So we do net 90s over here. Okay, payment is vibes. So they filmed a segment about the history of the Boudin factory on pro cameras while tourists watched. I did it in one take and was actually stoked about it. But not only did we never hear about the final product or where exactly it was going, we never got the tape at all. Mm. Same thing with the clips from the class portfolio. They were supposed to arrive on DVD in the mail and never did. Mm. Apparently, several of the parents on the last day of class told my mother that they thought the whole thing was a scam and that we'd never see any footage or value to the money. They were all right. Follow-ups went nowhere. It's like a lot of people evaporated into thin air. It's a really fucked up scam because in addition to preying on people's hopes and dreams, it preys on the parents who think their kids are super special, which is a lot of parents. In particular, like, it's a particular despo meter, which it really is. Once you have a kid and, you know, it was living rent-free in you for 9 months and then you push it out, like, you gotta think it's special.
Yeah, you don't want to acknowledge that, maybe this kid is mediocre.
Yeah.
But my heart goes out to Barry, though, because it definitely is something that you know, when you're an actor, you always are looking for your way in.
Yeah, for
sure. And so you are very vulnerable.
And there's no blueprint. Mm-hmm. Everyone's entry into this business is completely different. Robbery!
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
But yes, y'all, it's time for my favorite segment of the show, Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale Trey with a famous con caper group of criminals, and we'll get his opinions all throughout. Maybe we love them. Maybe we hate them. I don't know. We're going to be on this ride together. So we're going to go back in time a little bit. We're going to go back to the years 2001 to 2008, which, when you really think about those years, really ass times. George Bush, he really got a rough go at it. I think he just wanted to, like, be a nepo president and kick it. And he had to deal with 9/11 in 2001 and then the financial crisis in 2008.
Oof. Yeah, he was chilling. Yeah, people talk about that he was involved. How involved was George? Mm-hmm. I don't think he was that involved that ever. He literally, I think, had the energy of somebody that was just having a good time.
Just,
you know what I mean?
Just having a good time,
man. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's me, George Bush. Bobby Bush, George Bush, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on today? I think that's why when he was reading to them kids, attempting, and they whispered in his ear, he was like, sound that one out for me, baby boy. And they're like, Mr. President, he's like, hold on, he's telling me what it says. So there's two A's, but it sounds like one A-R, dark. It's not an aardvark, It's just one. All right, baby boy, thank you for that. Twin Towers, where
love,
are those?
I love the idea of him struggling, reading in the kitchen, and then he's like, oh, Saved by the Bell.
He's like, World Trade, where is that? Is that somewhere in the world? Oh, that's here. Oh, that's, oh, in our world. Okay. All right, kids, I'm not going to be able to get through this one. Otherwise, I can read good, and I would have finished.
Yeah. And he did look, I don't think he's that good of an actor. When you look at the pictures of him getting told what was happening, it looked like, he wasn't aware of that.
Oh, no. And he wasn't given spring into action face. Like, I feel like if Brock had gotten that same whisper, he would have been like, right away. Like, he would have been like, to the you know, command
something
room.
Something
would have
happened.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Bush was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
No, yeah.
He didn't want that at all.
No.
He was like, I did not sign up for this. I thought I was going to shake some hands, kiss some babies. Look.
Yeah.
If a face could say, now what now?
Now what? Yeah. That's the look of whenever somebody says, yeah, nobody liked your last Instagram post.
No, it's deeper than that. He looked like, no. He looked like he was so in over his head. Like, he couldn't even comprehend what he was hearing.
No, yeah, he didn't. Yeah, that's the look of a guy who honestly did not have any involvement in anything what's going on.
At all. He got his briefings and he was like, all right, this looks good. Y'all do what you feel is best.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a tough time. Yeah, no, early around there. Yeah, it was definitely.
So, but we're not talking about Georgie Bush, painter now. I'm in bestie of Michelle Obama. What a 180.
Yeah, he is besties with. That's a cute
She'd be giving him peppermints out of her purse. Yeah. I mean, like, people are like, but they're war criminals. I'm like, yeah, well, if you become a U.S. president, you're going to do the U.S. bidding.
Exactly.
Like, come on now. We're voting for the next war criminal. That's what we're doing. Like,
I just want the most likable war criminal. That's what I want.
The one with the best vibes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're talking about from 2001 to June of 2008. Mm. Arlen Galbraith was the reigning pigeon king of Canada, but his kingdom fell when it was discovered his pigeons were useless. So I love that, Caitlin, you wrote this as if we know what a pigeon king is. So we're just going to move with that knowledge.
Of course, he was
the pigeon king.
He was the pigeon king.
Before his empire
crumbled.
And you know how pigeon empires go.
Oh, you know what I mean?
They say you got a good 300 years before your pigeon empire is going to implode. So about Arlen. This is Arlen. We're looking at him right now. He is wearing is that a Kango?
Yeah. It's giving Mike Myers in makeup.
Oh, my goodness. It is giving Mike Myers the pigeon king. Mike, you missed a movie.
Yeah.
Austin Powers, the pigeon who shagged me.
Yeah. Yes. And this was in Canada. Oh, yeah. But Mike Myers is. Is he Canadian? No, he's.
Yeah, he's one of theirs.
Interesting. He's all right, there it is. Yeah, Canada.
We took him, but he's one of theirs. Yes.
There it is. Okay.
So is Ryle Reynolds. You'll never get him back. Reynolds. That is a mouth exercise.
It is. Ryan Reynolds.
I'm sorry doing that before I do the podcast. Ryan Reynolds. So yes, he's one of theirs.
Okay.
This outfit is very interesting. He has on a trench coat. It looks like he's going several different places. Like, he was like, I got to do my Inspector Gadget cameo. And then maybe he's gonna
golfing.
Yeah, maybe like an old school golf like situation where he's got like one of those leather caddy bags, mm-hmm. and he's got a, you know, hey boy, fetch me my driver. But then the glasses are giving me like maybe he got to hack into the mainframe later, turn off the lasers at the museum.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later he does have a youth group where he's going to be a pastor, so he mm-hmm. has to. That's why
Pigeon
we got
pastor.
The Easter tie on. And the and the Easter
Sunday,
man blouse. Yeah, he's got a lot of places to go today. He didn't have time to change.
Sunday school.
So about Arlen. Arlen started raising pigeons at the age of 6 after being introduced to raising pigeons for sport of pigeon racing by elderly neighbors in his hometown of Stouffville, Ontario, northeast of Toronto. So he lived in Stouffville, Ontario. Yeah. And old people taught him how to race pigeons.
That ancient art.
That ancient art of racing pigeons. And know that a pigeon racing is a sport of releasing specifically trained homing pigeons, mm-hmm. which then return to their homes over a carefully measured distance. After careful calculations, the bird who returns with the highest speed wins.
Interesting.
So they're basically like, y'all got to go over here, touch the pole and then come back to the crib. And I've heard of pigeons like carrying drugs and stuff. So yeah, pigeons are employed. Pigeons get to the bag.
They're working. Pigeons are part of the union.
They are the rats of the sky, but at least they do a job.
They give back. Right?
They give to the community.
So they do.
So his parents came from farmers, and after 11th grade, he dropped out of school and bought a cattle farm with his parents and older brother. However, the business failed, and they declared bankruptcy in 1980. Damn, so the cows weren't really counting. Is that around Mad Cow? No, that can't be. I was alive for Mad Cow. I wasn't alive in the 80s. So Arlen began picking up more farm work, breeding high-end rabbits and exotic birds. In February of 1989, Arlen's wife, Elizabeth, got in a car wreck that left her a quadriplegic, and Arlen as her caretaker for the following years. So I'm piecing this together. Arlen's wife in 1989 got into a car wreck, and then Arlen became her caretaker. Okay, that's sweet. I thought at first it said Arlen's mother, and I was about to be like, where is Arlen's father? Right, no, but this is his wife. So I'm glad he stayed 10 toes with
his queen.
Wife. Yes. The queen of the pigeon kingdom. And he stood by his queen.
That's good. Okay.
But then she didn't stand by him because Elizabeth filed for divorce several years after her accident.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe he wasn't standing that hard. You know, there's a lot of statistics about if a wife gets sick in a cis marriage, like cancer or anything like that, the husband will leave.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because it's like if you saw your partner as a caretaker and now you have to take care of them, then you go out and get another employee to get the government involved with.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Oh, man.
So throughout all the turmoil, Arlen was active in Ontario's pigeon racing circles. He was a member of the Canadian Racing Pigeon Union. They got a union.
Oh, my God.
Listen, grocery stores, Amazon, get y'all unions together because the pigeon racers have a union.
We can't get Amazon workers. They got a piss in a bucket.
The pigeons got rights.
Yo, they get
the
time off.
The pigeons are on strike.
Yeah, they don't got to go on strike. Yeah,
they don't have to go on strike because they got a great union.
They get paid leave. Yeah.
Well, that's, they got pigeon benefits.
But that's Canada.
All the
we're talking about
Canada.
That's
Canada.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, now that makes sense.
So Arlen was a member of the Canadian Racing Pigeon Union, right? He's also a member of the Canadian National Tippler Union, the National Birmingham Roller Club, and charter president of the Skugan Valley Fur and Feathers Fanciers Association.
Is this all real?
apparently, but this is just way too many organizations for y'all like sky rats. Like,
yeah.
This is too much.
It's a lot, yeah.
It's giving weird, but you know what? Everyone has a passion, and your passion isn't hurting anybody, so whatever you want.
Wow, I love that it was this organized. Like, a pigeon, really pigeon racing?
Apparently there's a hierarchy. Maybe there's kind of pigeon-enhancing drugs. That
yeah.
Really, you know?
I want to see, like, a Fast and Furious version, but with pigeons.
like street. Pigeons Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
What is that? So he still needed a job. Clearly, these are not paying professions. So Arlen finally decided to turn his lifelong hobby into a career. This was just a hobby. He's in all of these organizations because it's a hobby. He wants to hang out with other pigeon lovers, talk bird seed, you know, training
for
methods.
For the love of the game.
For the love of the game.
A pure. You know?
But now he's like, I got to get into it professionally because I need consistent income. Mm. And how else would I do that other than creating a pigeon kingdom? As one does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if you are the Pigeon King.
Like, I saw that Everest commercial. Remember, used to come up with the black man. He'd be yelling at you like, why are you on your couch?
Yeah,
you
what you doing?
You need to be in college.
Yeah, you sitting on a couch.
You bum. Get off of that couch. It's 12 p.m. and I know you high.
Yeah.
Come to Everest College.
Put down the mac and cheese. You doing eating hot Cheetos? It got really personal. I was like,
wow. He was coming for us.
Yeah.
He was like, what time did you go to bed last night? 4 a.m.? Yeah, I know you woke up to them infomercials.
Yeah.
Get a life at Everest College, you bum.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow, bitch. I feel like he was gaslighting us a lot.
He was, yeah. Come to college. I was like, all right.
He was like, what are you doing with your life? Don't you want to be a physician's assistant? Well, you can't do that here, but you can do billing and coding. Don't you want to bill and code, you raggedy bitch?
Fucking.
He was really
He was coming at you.
He was mean to us.
Man, that. That guy. But it was effective.
It really was.
Yeah, it was effective.
I was in college and I was like, do I have class right now? Like, why do I feel like That's he's yelling so funny. At me? So in 2001, with 50 years of pigeon breeding under his belt, Arlen began running ads in small farming magazines to recruit investors for Pigeon King International. He called himself the Pigeon King and claimed to have developed his own genetic line of pigeons. So now he's like, I got the...
Oh, shit.
The purebred.
Genetic line. Like, fucking, like... X-Men pigeon, like he's like like mutating. Now we're getting to the genetics.
This
guy.
Is Magneto.
Genetic, yeah, breeding like the pure. It's
how
it's
do getting, you even breed a pigeon? I don't even know how they do sex. They lay eggs, right? Because they're birds. They're
That's
amphibians,
true.
Though. So
wait, they are?
Yeah, aren't birds amphibians?
I don't know. I went to Detroit Public School.
I took biology. I had AP biology. Judith, pull me up here. But I don't know if they'd be bumping uglies to get the egg, though. How do they do that?
Do they do it in, like, the sky?
I don't know. Because roosters are chicken. Roosters be giving a D, right? Roosters got penises. Oh, wow.
I think so, right?
Yeah. Chicken sex is happening. Bird sex happens, but... I don't know how pigeons get it on. So they're avians. Yeah, why did I say amphibian? That's wrong. It's avians, which I knew that. Aviaries, avian. It's very easy. And then Judith just said into our headphones, I will look up the bird sex. So hold for bird sex.
Yeah, let's get
on that.
Concerned
on me. So the mission
Doing
of...
it bird style.
Oh, God.
Birdman.
Oh, no. So the mission of Pigeon King International was to sell breeding pairs of pigeons to farmers with a guarantee to buy back their offspring at fixed prices for 10 years. So he's selling these birds to farmers, getting them, you know, breeded up and having just like a purebred pigeon, that purebred pigeon.
Purebred, okay.
So the birds were intended to be high-end racing pigeons, and Arlen told farmers he intended to sell them to lucrative pigeon racing markets overseas.
Whoa.
So there's a lucrative market for this. Oh, we've got a name here that I think you'll like. He began by showing many farmers a photograph of Mike Tyson. Now, I don't know where we're going to get into pigeons here.
What?
This is how he started his sales pitch. He would show them a photograph of Mike Tyson.
Okay.
The world's most famous pigeon racer.
Yeah.
And claimed that he had sold him racing birds. So apparently,
oh, Mike Tyson...
Mike Tyson
within pigeon.
He within pigeon racing.
Okay.
Mike Tyson is known for...
Interesting, because they...
I did not know he was known for collecting pigeons, but apparently this is a thing. This is a thing he's known for.
Oh, you didn't know?
Give me a picture of Mike Tyson with a pigeon, please.
Yo.
I had no idea about this.
It makes sense, though.
I mean, I've always heard about the ear situation,
yeah.
And then he had the ear gummies, you know, I knew about that, but nothing
he's
about...
He's an entrepreneur. He's in it. For the pigeon racing. Also, Mike Tyson had a show on comedy, a Cartoon Network. Called,
oh, I watched that. Mike Tyson Mysteries?
Yeah, there's a pigeon in that. Remember that?
Oh, my goodness. There is a pigeon
Norm
in
McDonald.
That show.
Norm McDonald was a pigeon.
Wow. Yeah, was that supposed to be some kind of hint to
I
us
guess.
That he loved pigeons?
He was telling us the whole time.
He was telling us. Wow. If I was a real Mike Tyson fan, I would have been like, look, he put a pigeon in the show.
Yeah,
it
would have
made
either.
More sense. I thought he just randomly had a pigeon. Wow.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, a man with just so many.
There's more. He's layers. There's layers.
Multitudes.
Yeah, there's a multitude to this guy.
Oh, my goodness. We have a photo here of Mike Tyson with a pigeon. He's wearing like one of those like Russian hats, like the fur hats.
Yeah,
this photo,
the
there's so much
this?
Happening.
There's a lot. Yeah.
It's back when he had that tattoo on his face.
Well, he still has it, right?
Oh, he does? I thought he got removed.
Oh,
maybe he didn't. Because he had it on Mike Tyson Mysteries, too. They had the tattoo on the side of his face.
Yeah.
He really is looking lovingly at this pigeon.
He is. He's a sweetheart.
And his hands
guy.
Are so large. Like, to imagine him holding this pigeon gently without, like, just squeezing the life out of it is wild. You really don't know.
Yeah,
people.
You don't know what's it. Yeah.
So Arlen used this as an opportunity. He said, I'm going to show you the most famous pigeon racing person, and that is Mike Tyson. Pigeon racing is a centuries-old sport that has regained popularity in recent years, and with that, proven to be lucrative for the best pigeon handlers. So you can make a lot of money if you really had that good pigeon. And birds mate with what is known as a colloquial kiss. The male mounts the female from behind, balancing on her back. She arches her back and toots that thang up and moves her tail for... to one side. He hunches over and their cloacas? Oh, Benny Thomas is going to kill me. Cloches, I feel like. I feel like that's a touch for just a second. So they just touch, they just bump fronts for a moment.
Yeah, just for a second.
That's not, why you had to show us the bird booty hole, Judith? My goodness.
No, I need to see, I was going to ask, can I see a picture?
I didn't want to see it.
It's for science. Right, thank you, yeah.
So he's over here bumping all the cloches and getting this, the top pigeons, the fastest cloche bumping pigeons ever, and then he's selling
genetically engineered.
Yes, genetically engineered by him bumping uglies for them.
Ooh, yeah.
So in 2013, a gifted Belgian pigeon named Bolt, after the Olympic sprinter Usain Bolt, sold for $300,000 to a Chinese businessman, breaking world records. So this pigeon, this sky rat, these are all over New York. Why are y'all not racing New York pigeons?
Yeah, right.
Y'all ain't doing shit but pooping.
Yeah.
Shitting. Y'all ain't doing shit but shit.
No, yeah. These people feed them. Homeless people feed them. You should be training them.
Yeah, you making them fat, y'all. They don't need all them carbs. Stop giving them bread. They need to be out there on lean protein. Start throwing jerky at the pigeons and giving them...
They need some Ozempic or something, man. We got to get these pigeons.
We got to give them hormones. Yeah. We got to get them strong. Give them some testosterone.
Yeah.
So a large number of Arlen's early investors were Amish and Mennonite, people whose way of life centered on trusting others to live a meaningful life. So, okay, I got to talk to the Amish. Maybe they can give me a little check or something, okay? So the Amish people were like, we love this for you. Pigeons don't involve any technology. Mm-hmm. Get out there racing pigeons. When Arlen was able to move Pigeon King International from his basement to a proper office, he taped a sign to his door reading, "He who does not trust is not to be trusted. My business is built on everlasting trust."
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like if you have to put a sign like that on your door, you're probably not trustworthy.
You can't trust. Yeah, I'm not going to. If I saw that, if walking in here, they said, trust us. We're trustworthy. I'd be like,
very trustworthy guy inside.
Yeah. Like kind of like Google's slogan is don't be evil.
That's their slogan?
That's the slogan. I think so, right? Like unless they changed it. I remember seeing their slogan, don't be evil. Don't be evil
feels like y'all are doing a little too much to distract from evil.
Yeah, I think it's a little evil.
Don't be evil, like us.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that.
Yeah, nobody was thinking about evil, Google. I was just trying to figure out where the closest, Valvoline is.
Yeah, you're telling on yourself.
Yeah, you're telling on yourself, okay. Just like Arlen is. So over time, Arlen built a community of pigeon enthusiasts, investors. Do the right thing.
Okay.
Don't be evil was Google's former motto, though. Wow.
And they changed it.
Google, what's going on?
Well, they were like, ah,
they were
we
like,
can't
you know what?
Evil.
We can't say that no more because we are evil. So we should pivot to do the right thing sometimes when you can. If people have found out about the wrong thing, correct.
Well, I love the CEO. whose idea was that? Like, so what should our slogan be? Well, we're pretty evil.
Yeah. So what if we say don't be evil? We get in front of it. Because then how they going to say we evil if we already had told them not to be?
Yeah.
You know, you get what I'm saying?
That'd be like if Amazon's slogan was pay your workers.
Well, you remember in 2020, they started, instead of paying the workers, they started putting out national commercials with workers in quotes talking about, they all look like they were hostages.
Yeah.
I love Amazon. They let us pee so much here.
We get too many bathroom breaks. Yeah.
Honestly, too many opportunities to pee. Me and all my homies pee at the Amazon bathroom every day.
Yeah.
And we eat lunch and we work normal hours. No one died here today. Amazon.
And they had the smiley face with the box, right? That
with the arrow.
Yeah, we're all subliminally trying to subliminally messaging people like we're happy.
No, we're so happy that we have to. The arrow is shooting really, really fast, but it's also making us smile because of how much we love to give you a package you ordered online the same day you got it to your house. Mm. Nobody died and everybody peed.
Nobody died, Amazon.
So he built this community, right? He's got pigeon enthusiasts, investors, breeders that shared similar ethics and values, becoming what he called the pigeon religion. So now he's moving into religious territory, He hired a salesman to sell Pigeon King to farmers across Ontario and into the American Midwest and started a monthly newsletter, The Pigeon Post, a sort of small town newspaper for the community he was building. This is a very niche, specific community. One such testimonial in The Post told of a family with 8 children. That's a lot of them things. One with a brain tumor, another with spina bifida, who lived in a falling down house. house and ended with, "And then came the pigeons. What a blessing," in all caps. So he said that we got 8 kids. 2 of them, you know, are dealing with serious medical issues. Our house is falling down, no Humpty, no Dumpty. And then came the pigeons.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
It's yeah, a prophecy.
It does not expand from there.
No, but it
we
is.
We don't know what the pigeons did.
They just came.
They came and yeah. They blessed.
Yeah.
If you want to know what the pigeons did, I guess you're going to have to get you some damn pigeons, because he did not tell us what they did for the children, for the home, but we know they were a blessing.
They just came and was like, thank you. Yeah, there. It is a religious, yeah, where it's, it, I feel like a culture, somebody has to worship pigeons, right? Like, because they used to worship cows at one point, right? People?
Yeah, people do still have a sacred belief around cows.
That's right, yeah.
Some religions.
Pigeons.
Hindu, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, there's certain animals that, like, you know, people don't touch, pigs, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. I don't think that's because they worship them. I think that's because they think they're dirty. But, you know, the swine.
Yeah, that's right.
My brother.
Yeah, my brother. Okay. Who told you? Okay.
I saw you selling bean pies before you came into Sirius. What do you mean? Brother Trey?
Listen. I like when they hit it with the brother.
Yes. Yeah, they gotta hit you with the brother, okay?
Brother, sister.
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 Sister. My sister.
Sister
it's
goddess.
My sister.
My
it's
sister.
Never just sister. My sister.
Yeah.
They, you know, there's some ownership.
I don't trust
there.
People. I don't trust you.
For the next 7 years, Arlen picked up breeders, young pigeons, on time and never broke a contract or missed a payment. So he was basically picking up the breeders' young pigeons and he never missed a payment. He picked them up on time. And that was what he was offering, right? He was like, let's get these birds bump into cloches, and then we're going to have the top tier Usain Bolt, Shakari Richardson, you know, pigeons, yeah. Okay? You know, Wagwan, we're going to have the Jamaican, you know, Olympic yeah. racing team pigeons, okay? So in 1 3-year period, he paid out almost $30 million to farmers and other creditors.
Oh my God.
So there's no reason to be suspicious if my money is on time mm-hmm. and it's moneying how money should money. You know what I mean? Sounds Facts. To me like Arlen yeah. got it.
Yeah, Arlen has a lot of it.
He had a lot of it.
A lot of its.
So by late 2007, hundreds of breeders were making thousands of dollars a year selling pigeons back to Arlen. Around the same time, a man named David J. Thornton, 73 years old, appeared outside a Pigeon King open house with a megaphone, yelling that Pigeon King was a Ponzi scheme that used the investments of new bird farmers to pay off existing farmers, and that Arlen was never selling birds to pigeon racers in the first place.
Mm. Oh, there it is.
So 73, clearly he's been scorned. Okay. He probably got into this hobby. He's like, I'm in my retirement. You yeah. know, let me get into the pigeon business. Why? Why not? I'm yeah. 73 and I have resources. And now he's gotten himself a bullhorn and he's just standing outside the Pigeon Kingdom saying,
"Hey, y'all." A tale is all this time.
A tale is all this time. He arranged an angry mob. At the time, it was just him.
If you build it, they will come.
If you build it, they will come. Yeah. You know what? And he was loud. He had a megaphone. So he was like, this is giving vibes of a mob. Okay. Right now, it's a one man mob.
You say, I identify
as a mob. We mob in. Okay.
We mob it. Okay.
Yeah, we'll have other people. Don't worry about that. They coming. They late. So David runs a website called Crime Busters Now and is a self-professed vigilante bent on taking down pyramids and Ponzi schemes. So he's a hater. So at 73, yes, he decided to enter the hater profession because, you know, they say in your golden years, if you don't have anything to do, that's when your brain starts to atrophy and you can die sooner. So you got to have a hobby. His is hating.
He's doing this to stay alive.
Yeah. He took it on full time and it's fueling him. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just show up with a bullhorn to somebody's spot for something that actually, so far, does not affect him financially.
No, yeah.
But look at his website. He's got every, he says, oh, that no. was then. And then look, he's got, this is hopefully now. So he's taking photos. Can you go back on the slide? Go back. Oh, yeah. So he's got photos up on this website of Alan Kippix and another criminal. He's got them behind clip art bars. He's got Arlen on here behind clip art yeah. bars. He's got Donald Trump behind clip art bars. Like, he is trying to put the girls in prison.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
and he's got a quote here that says, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Margaret Mead. So remember, he said he's a mob of one. And he yeah. said, don't sleep on the mob of one, because yeah. this is how you change the world. It's me, baby, with my website. and my pettiness. Okay, okay, David. I'm having fun with you.
If you build a website, you're serious.
They will come.
Yeah.
If you build a website, they will click. Okay?
They will click. They're clicking.
GoDaddy, you can take that as your new slogan.
If you build a website, they will click.
They will click.
Yeah.
David caught on to Arlen in the summer of 2007 after being tipped off by a Mennonite nut grower and began contacting bankers and feed companies to spread his suspicions. He called blacksmiths to reach Amish farmers. However, when people reached out to him, he sounded so unhinged that several people were more convinced Arlen was legitimate after the conversation. So, David, you messed up here a little bit because you got a tip. Now, this is in 2007. We know this is going to fall apart in 2008. So you move pretty quick. We're talking about a year's time.
Right.
You got a tip. And instead of acting rationally, you got a little happy and...
Too happy, yeah.
Yeah. The hater happy jumped out and he was like, oh, God, one.
Yeah.
He did it. He probably didn't want to... Remember that one politician who lost his whole career because he said... He was like, we're going to...
Oregon.
Yeah. He did that. He did a pow. You can't do that.
He got too happy.
People were like, oh, nah, yeah, bro.
Dean Edwards? Is that his
name? Yeah. And okay. I know he mad now looking at Donald Trump's old sex criminal fucking fraudsting ass bitch.
He got taken out.
And he's
out.
Like, I got taken out because I said pow. And everyone was like, no, this man is unhinged. We can't.
Yeah, Chappelle. Yeah. Did the sketch. And it's like, yo, when you're a meme. Before memes were, like,
yeah,
he was
he
like
was
the
a
first
meme.
Meme.
Before we had memes.
Howard Dean. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, justice for Howard Dean. Because he just had one vocal outburst and everybody
was
like,
so
nah,
happy.
You got too much dip on your chip, bro. We can't fuck with you. Something
Meanwhile,
wrong.
Trump out here grabbing
right,
pussy.
Doing everything.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Can we cuss on this?
Yes, doing
mean,
everything. Right. Oh, you haven't heard me this whole episode? Doing everything wrong. And what's interesting to me here, too, is that when you have a theory or when you are speculatory about something and you know something's afoot, how you present the information is really important to people. And like you see this on that TV show Traitors all the time. I love that show so bad. I want to be on it so bad. My reps will never let me, but I love it. It's so good. But okay. One thing that I love about it is that so many people on this show get scammed by the Traitors. If you've never seen the show, watch it. Traitors UK is great. Traitors US is really great too. Especially the first season of Traitors US and the second season of Traitors UK. So good. Basically, it's just like a game of murder where like they go in a round table. It's like a kid's game basically. They pick, it's like a combination of Fear Factor, Murder, and then all those MTV shows like The Challenge and stuff.
Okay.
So each week, they pick, so the beginning of the game, at the first episode, they pick a couple traitors who are people who each night, one night a week, they get to murder someone in this Scottish castle, which means that you have to go home, you're kicked out of the game.
Mm.
And everyone else's job is to try to figure out who is a traitor so they can kick them out. Because if there's any traitors at the end of the game, all the money they win doing the Fear Factor challenges and the MTV type challenges goes to the traitor. So at the end, if they all decide we're all faithful people and we're not traitors, then they all split the money. But if there's one traitor in the midst, that traitor keeps all the money.
Get the money, yeah.
And one of the things that's funny about it is when they go to these roundtables and they talk about why they think someone's suspicious, a lot of the times it's natural human behavior. So it's like, oh, this person gets too defensive, or oh, this person is, you know, constantly accusing people, or oh, this person we just simply do not like. You'd be surprised yeah, how many people they voted off because they were just like, we don't like your vibe. And they were like, I'm faithful though. I'm really, y'all, come on, y'all keeping the traitors.
Yeah.
The traitors were always the most affable people, usually flew under the radar, voted with the group, found some friends who became their allies. I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's two seasons where, oh my God, I was gutted. It was so funny to me. Like the faithful people were like, I just trust you. I love you. We spent so much time together. And the traitor's like, I love you too. And they mean it.
Ooh,
but at the, yeah. But then they're like, I'm a traitor. Give me all that money. And,
yeah.
And it's devastating. These people are sobbing and crying and stuff. But human behavior teaches us that when people make outbursts, that they're less trustworthy. So when David got hyped up because he finally caught, you know, this Allen dude, he's calling people like, hey, you're in a Ponzi scheme. Everything's going wrong. You got to get away from Arlen. Like, he's a horrible man.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are like, who is this conspiracy theorist? Who is this tinfoil man calling me? His behavior is bizarre.
Too
it's
passionate.
Just like screaming like, I'm not crazy. Yeah, everyone's going to think you're crazy if you scream, I'm not crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. When you're that passionate, it's hard. You do have to level that.
You have to dial it back.
So
and it's hard when you're 73 years old and this is, you know.
Well, you don't got much time left.
Your passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get it in.
Right. He's trying to get it in now, okay?
Yeah.
He took that one foot out of the grave. Like, now, listen, people live to the 80s, 90s, so, you know, you never know.
But that's great...
I think he just had a passion for hating.
Yeah, that's a good thing to take away, too, with life. It's like anybody that is trying to be your friend and going under the radar,
yeah.
9 times out of 10, look for them, right? It's
yeah.
like that, because anybody that's loud, you want to think, oh, I don't trust that person, but they're being honest.
They're not necessarily always being honest, but the thing is that we tend to think that suspicious people are the ones who are blatantly in our faces.
Absolutely.
But a lot of times it's that person sitting back in the corner who's pulling all the strings.
Right.
Yes.
So my man was out here fighting for justice.
Yes, he was out here screaming and fighting and kicking. That's why he got that bullhorn. Like, if you show up in front of somebody's house you don't know with a bullhorn, who do we think is the weird one?
Especially if you're alone. You know what I mean? It's like you're missing an important part
of the mob mentality, which is an actual mob.
Because you're like there's a lot of that on Hollywood. You go on Hollywood Boulevard, there's a lot of people screaming.
Yes, there are a lot of people
by themselves.
And if they were screaming in a group, we'd be like, what's that protest about?
Exactly.
But since they're alone, we're like, that man needs help.
Crazy, right. Yeah.
And he could be screaming things that are true. But we are going to look at him
as a lot of time. I've heard stuff like screaming.
You roll your window down and you're like,
Yeah, especially the black Israelites.
Yeah, let him cook a little bit. Yeah, that's such a good point too, is that he's by himself. Yeah, you need people show up for the angry mob. That's the whole reason they did a mob. If it's one guy with a pitchfork outside someone's house, we're looking at you weird.
Yeah.
If you got a group, we're like, now wait a minute. They've assembled a group.
I might even join.
Yeah. It's like, what y'all doing over here? Why are we mad? Yeah, no, hand me a torch. I just light it off yours.
Yeah.
I've joined. So in December 2007, Pigeon King was attacked again, this time by Better Farming. The magazine had a full-time editorial staff of three and worked out of an office in the editor's own farm town in East Ontario. So this is his own squad. Like, these are local journalists who are now getting to typing, okay? So in a 16-page special investigation, 16 pages, of Pigeon King International, the magazine's longest piece of reporting yet. They said, you know what? The whole magazine.
What's going on?
Ontario probably don't got that much going on, okay?
That's true.
They said, this is our expose. This is it, okay? All hands on deck, all six hands, because there's only three of us working here. And we about to spin the block. We about to put him out here 16 times.
That's wild. Yeah, okay.
Special investigation, okay?
A 60-minute special. Okay, they were in it, yeah.
So they shared an exhaustive and devastating expose with evidence to prove that Arlen couldn't have provided a market for so many birds. Because I was thinking, like, what does he do with the birds when he takes them? Because he's clearly not selling them to other people. So does he just have a coop that's just full of pigeons? Or is he just throwing them bitches out in the sky
renting them or something? Yeah, what's going on?
So it turns out that Arlen seemed to have merely taken the young birds he bought from Pigeon King International farmers and resold them as breeding pairs to other Pigeon King International farmers, shuttling pigeons from one barn to another. Pigeon King took a big hit as a result of the investigation. So basically, his whole business model was that he gives you the purebred pidge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gives it to you. You bump uglies with your pigeons, and then you keep them for a little bit. Then he comes and he picks up his like grade A pigeon cloche booty, and he also picks up the young new pigeons. And those pigeons are supposed to be sold to like people who raise pigeons for like $300,000, like that man in China. Like, he's supposed to be selling those new high end pigeons.
Right.
Instead of doing that, he's just passing around these same pigeons to other people so that they can do the same breeding process, and they pay for that, and then he gives them a return. So just like in a Ponzi scheme, he's getting his large investment up front. He's giving out tiny dividends to people so they think that they're earning money.
Yes.
When in reality, he's just giving you the money from the next person, which is a Ponzi scheme.
Right. Yeah. Classic.
Pigeon Ponzi is so cute. Yeah, Pigeon Ponzi. So we're getting to the end of this. So this 16-page expose, it really hurt Arlen's business.
Yeah.
So then Arlen made an announcement that he intended to build a large processing plant at Sacred Dove Ranch, a property he had purchased in far northern Ontario, so he could begin selling squab or pigeon meat.
Okay, I was wondering when we were going to get to the pigeon meat part. I was like, I knew at some point somebody's gonna be eating pigeon, right? I almost said it earlier, but I was like, no, we'll get to it.
I thought about pigeon pie, but I thought maybe that was just like from Sweeney Todd. I didn't think that was like a real thing people were.
You ain't had pigeon meat?
No, I ain't had pigeon meat.
It's like chicken.
Have you had pigeon meat? Oh, okay.
I haven't had
possum, but they be eating possum sometimes.
You know, they do fry everything. Yeah.
I done had a fried frog leg. Mm-hmm. I had some gator. You know, gator look tough for me. Frog is just like chicken, but it's such a thin little leg. Why would you want that?
Yeah, that's So yeah, I don't know who's pigeon.
Yeah, but pigeon, I ain't had no pigeon. I just feel like that's a dirty bird. I don't want to eat no pigeon. So this was a huge transition from describing his program as racing pigeons and a breeding program to a meat farming program. So he went from like, you're going to be a star pigeon to you're going to be dinner. Like,
yeah. Oh, every which way.
That's a mean lick.
Well, yeah, that it. He was like, I'm going to get as much use out of this pigeon.
I mean, I guess they make glue out of horses that they have to out. So
when they can't race anymore. But was he like, was he doing this to losers or was he just?
I don't know. Not losers.
Look, it's like if you lost your race.
Damn, if you lose your race.
Yeah, you're meat.
You showing up on the dinner table the next night. Oh, damn. The stakes are high, little pigeons. I'm sorry. Y'all go back to eating that bread in the park. Don't enter. This is a dangerous game.
It is, yeah.
So he insisted that the global demand for quality squab at reasonable prices was unlimited. I didn't know that people were demanding squab.
And I guess they're out here.
It's pigeon meat. Why are we calling it? Like, just like we call chicken.
Yeah.
I guess we could call it poultry. But why are we calling it squab? That's pigeon. It's pigeon. Just call it pigeon.
Yeah.
So soon as
pigeon.
Some of that good pitch. So soon as
let me get some of that pitch.
Let me get some of that pitch. We'll be having a night pitch.
Pitch again?
Pigeon grits. Y'all want a mimosa with y'all pigeon grits? That's what we have for brunch.
Pigeon grits.
So soon the Attorney General of Iowa, as well as Maryland and Washington, demanded that Arlen prove his company was not a Ponzi scheme in order to keep doing business in the United States. At the same time, Arlen was running out of space for all the birds he wasn't selling, and clearly ain't selling that meat either. A year earlier, Pigeon King didn't have enough pigeons for new breeders. Now, so a year before, he didn't have enough pigeons. Now he has way too many pigeons, and he's trying to, you know, deep fry them, pigeon jerky.
Yeah.
You know, pigeon poutine.
Yeah. Figure it
That's
out.
Where you put it on the fries, just a little pigeon meat on top of the fries. So now, oh no. So now, according to one owner of his pigeon-holding barns, you could tell he was just log-jammed with pigeons. There was clearly no way to get rid of them. That Arlen had held hundreds of thousands of pigeons in holding barns without killing or releasing them, as if they were genuinely valuable products, suggested that he didn't believe he was running a Ponzi scheme, or more likely, he was just bad at it. So he kept all the pigeons. He didn't offload them. He didn't throw them in the sky. He really thought he had an asset.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you think you're sitting on a coal mine. It's like you wouldn't get like Bitcoin, you know?
Right. Yeah. You're not going to give your Bitcoins away.
Exactly.
But I just don't know if you can accidentally run a Ponzi scheme, because you know in your heart of hearts and in your brain of brains that you're not generating any revenue, that you're just robbing Peter to pay Pigeon Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knew that.
So, but you know what? I think it's cute. So pigeons require food, medicine, housing, and in a way that like cash securities don't, right? So a cash security, like the maintenance that you have to do on that financially is very low. It's like online, right? But a pigeon needs seed, needs food,
right.
Needs water. Pigeons are got a lot of diseases.
Also,
they need
they're in
medicine.
The union.
Yes, they are unionized. So
a lot of that money is going to
their health care.
Their health care, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, what were you gonna say?
Well, yeah, it's legal over there. So I think it makes sense that in his mind, maybe he's like, oh, okay, I'm helping to shuffle these pigeons around. Right. Like a pimp. He is pimping pigeons.
Pimp pigeon. He was spending cheese, all right.
Man, and if people have the money to spend, is that really a crime?
In this instance, it is a crime because people weren't getting what they paid for. So remember, the Mennonites and the Amish, they were investing in an international kingdom pigeon business where they thought that they were going to see returns. And instead of getting returns on this lucrative Mike Tyson, you know, Mike Tyson making money, okay?
What does Mike have to say?
Mike got
this?
A check, okay? He keeps a check.
Yeah.
So they thought they were going to come up. So they didn't come up because all he was doing was circulating the same money that he was getting from new investors out as if it was dividends. So in this case, it is harmful because the people who bought in did not get what they paid for. But at the same time, sometimes I wonder with investments, like, I almost am on Arlen's side here because if he thought the pigeons were going to be lucrative, when you invest in something, you are still taking a significant amount of risk. It's not like you invest in something and there's guaranteed returns. You know what I mean? Like there's some low stake investments where you can get like 2.5% interest, you know, through your bank or whatever. Mm. But the more that you start to increase the risk, the more likely that you could lose everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So the second he realized that he wasn't ever going to get a return, that's when it turns into.
Yeah. The second that he starts paying people with money that he received from other investors and saying that it is a return is where the crime steps in.
Yes.
If he had just been like, hey, y'all, these pigeons ain't pigeoning like they're supposed to and shut the business down, then he wouldn't have done a crime because it's like you invested in something and it was a flop.
You shot your shot. Yeah.
Yeah. You shot your shot. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, you know, you see Shark Tank shows and stuff like that where like people are like investing in multiple different companies. It's because you know some of these are going to bottom out. But if you're a hoarding wealth venture capitalist, it doesn't really fucking matter if you throw $100,000 in something that flops. Because if you threw 100K or 500K into Uber and you watch them subvert the market and you get all your money back, then you won on that one. So it doesn't matter if you put a little coin in like MoviePass and that blew up, you know?
Yeah, MoviePass.
Yeah. Oh, poor MoviePass. I felt so bad for MoviePass. Bro, that wasn't some black people who started MoviePass.
Yeah, that was when I got in the movie. I was like, I'm going to go to these movies now.
Yeah, MoviePass severely underestimated millennials and their propensity to take advantage of something. Yes, because MoviePass was supposed to be like, we all just dip in a little bit for the movies. But then, you know, you got your cinephiles and your greedy mofos who were like, I'm going to watch every movie ever made every single night.
Absolutely.
I'm going to live at the movie theater. Swipe my pass again.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I'm there. Yeah.
Bro, they ran them out of business so fast. And then MoviePass, it was so cute. I remember, I think I did have MoviePass because they sent a little email. I was like, hey y'all, if we could just get $1 from everybody, then we could stay afloat for a little bit.
Oh, no.
They sent out an email saying, can they hold a dollar? And I was like, no, not MoviePass. Like, can we hold a dollar? Can we hold a dollar?
It is sad because their whole system was incorporated by AMC. And it's like now we have the AMC Stubbs list and all that stuff.
I don't know what the benefits of that are because I got in line at AMC and I don't have a Stubbs pass. Mm-hmm. The Stubbs line was so much longer than the regular line that I got in the Stubbs line because I read the signs and they were confusing. And I was like, well, this surely can't be the VIP Stubbs line because why is this so long? And I can just walk up to the counter if I don't have Stubbs.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so then I realized as I got to the counter, they're like, no, that line over there was for you. I was like, so I could have been out of here in 2 minutes while y'all wait for 10? What's happening?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's kind of like Clear if you travel a lot.
Yeah, I do travel a lot. Yeah. And Clear be getting on my nerves.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's always only when I have like when my flight is boarding and I'm at the airport and they're like, oh, we need a new photo, a new thumbprint. Clear needs to verify your data. I'm like, bitch, I don't have time. If you don't walk me up there right now.
Yeah, what am I paying for?
Right. Like sometimes a Clear line will be longer than the regular line.
Yeah,
and I'm
absolutely.
Like, what the... Ugh. But I love Clear. Sponsor the show. Clear. So clear and good. Y'all, if you want to get on your plane, clearly you need Clear.
It's crystal clear.
It's crystal clear that you need Clear. But you know, I feel like it's LA and New York airports that are like that because our travel, everybody got Clear. But like if you go to anywhere in the middle, I feel like that line is a little more chill.
Right.
So we're at the end here. On June 17th of 2008. Arlen sent a mailer to all breeders and barn operators that Pigeon King was dead in the water. That Pigeon King had flew the coop. By this point, Pigeon King International had almost 1,000 breeders under contract in 5 Canadian provinces and 20 U.S. states. When farmers heard the company was dead, several hundred attended an investors meeting to decide what to do with everyone's pigeons. Mm. Because now everyone has an influx of pigeons. Also, Pigeon King, I'm blaming you for some things because is this why we have an influx of pigeons?
Yeah, probably you're fucking making them. You're breeding them.
Right. We're going to have to put some of these pigeons in the CIA or something. Like, what are these pigeons going to do for work? Because they just can't be on the streets.
See, we got to find, some kind of job. Or maybe give some people as pets.
Goodness. I had a bird when I was a kid. I gave it away.
Yeah.
Her name
really?
Was Phoebe. She was a bitch. Oh my God. I hated Phoebe. She would bite me all the time. She made my room stink.
Oh, what kind of bird
was it? Oh my gosh. I think she was like a... I want to say cockatoo, but that's wrong. She was green, but she wasn't a parrot. Mm, I don't know. Avian people out there, let me know. Is that enough descriptors? Yeah, but she just, one time we hadn't clipped her wings well enough, I guess, and we were giving her a bath. I don't know if we were supposed to be doing that. We didn't know how to take care of a bird. And like, she just like flew away and we was like, ah, shit. And then she ended up in my friend Faith's house who had a bird. And so I was like, hey girl, do you want another bird? Because I don't want this bird no more.
That's
we
fair.
Gave her away. Yeah, no. I wouldn't give away a dog or anything like that, but a bird, I had to get rid of that bird. Mm-mm.
Well, let it fly away. You know, they want to fly. Like, let them.
Yeah. Because I don't want nothing shitting in my room. That was crazy. Yeah. Like, nah, I was a kid. I was like, absolutely not. I think I was 10. So they soon discovered that the pigeons were both too small to produce any meat to be profitable and not refined enough to be racing pigeons. So these pigeons are skinny as
in
hell.
The
they
yeah,
don't
too
got,
skinny to eat.
Don't got no meat on them. And they're also not purebred enough to actually race. So farmers were left with 400,000 pigeons with little incentive to keep them. Many feared that they would swarm downtown Toronto like the plague. So the province's agricultural ministry conducted mass euthanasia.
There it is. Yeah. Okay.
Not a murder. A murder of pigeons. That's supposed to just be crows.
Yeah.
And also, this reminds me of that movie, The Birds. Like, this
it
probably
does,
what
yeah.
y'all did That's to piss Tippi Hedren's birds off. This is what y'all did. Oh, my goodness. Even though
they're
the birds obviously
revenge.
Predated. But yeah they're going to get revenge on us. Hopefully they keep that revenge up in Canada.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I know 20 states did it down here, but don't look at us. We got it bad enough. Like, just peck out their shit. But euthanasia, mass pigeon euthanasia.
Yeah.
Ugh, that is just
yeah,
so sad.
I wonder
sad.
If PETA.
Yeah, PETA, why y'all not throwing paint on these pigeon people?
What's going on, yeah.
Where were y'all? Because I don't see y'all nowhere up in here. Y'all love to do weirdly sexual demonstrations and stuff.
Exactly,
y'all, why don't y'all take yourselves up there and paint yourself and stand naked outside like you like to do and get some awareness assist? Because I didn't hear anything about this.
This is, yeah, it's everything that you could want. It's sex trafficking. It's fucking like slavery. It's like, yeah, this is, they're eating them.
Pigeon slavery. We got cannibalism.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we got to, where's the Martin Luther King of pigeons?
Yeah.
You know, we need some.
Yeah,
pigeon
we need
liberation.
Him. Where is
this
he?
This guy, yeah.
No, he's not leading them to freedom. He's leading them to the slaughter.
To the fryer,
to
yeah.
To the fryer, okay? They said not good enough to fry.
Well, that's crazy. Yeah, not good enough to eat.
So Pigeon King International declared bankruptcy with less than $50,000 in assets, even after Arlen tried to bail it out with money out of pocket. Arlen had taken nearly $42 million from farmers and walked away from obligations to buy back $356 million worth of their baby birds, ruining most of those investors. Wow. So he had given back like 30 million, right? Mm. He owed 356 million people to these people for these birds.
Yeah.
And he said, I ain't got it.
Yeah.
A forensic accountant determined that signing up enough new pigeon breeders to pay off those contracts would have dug him even deeper. We're talking $1.5 billion into the hole if he had continued to sign on new investors to pay back the $356 million, because that's how a Ponzi scheme works. Like, you pay people out and all you're doing is surviving.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Ponzi schemer, your whole hope is like either you win the lotto and get rich randomly, or you're able to keep getting new investors in perpetuity till the day that you die.
Right.
Because the second that people stop investing, or that they want their returns back, or they want to cash out, your business is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like, why I love Bernie Madoff, because he made it so long. He was in his 70s.
Oh, yeah, my man. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he made it pretty long.
You know what I mean? He just kept...
Almost to the finish line.
Yeah, almost to the finish line.
There.
You know, it was impressive. So Arlen, you know, he did his personal bankruptcy, right? And soon after, in December of 2010, was charged with fraud and violations of the Bankruptcy Act. So they said, wait a minute, you can't rob the bank? Hold on.
That's where you fucked up, yeah.
Arlen represented himself with a severe misunderstanding of the legal process, and the trial was long, and his clumsiness was disrupted. I love that he represented himself. That's the kind of pageantry I want to be. Objection! And like, we just doing opening statements. Oh, my bad. Overrule. You don't say that. Okay. Habeas corpuses. Nah, that's not something. All right.
Yeah.
Motion to redirect.
Yeah.
You're the witness right now. You're on the stand. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Recess.
You can't call that. Contempt of court. Again, not your job.
Yeah. I'm out of line. Say, what are
yes,
you?
You actually are.
Yeah. All right. That one.
Not for the reasons you think. Yes.
I love that he felt that strongly. Was
he
like,
saw
I
one episode
this.
Of a sitcom. He saw Martin and was like, I could do that.
Yeah.
Like, every sitcom had an episode where you represent yourself in court.
And it works out, yeah.
Yep, every single time. I think iCarly had one, too. You got to. It's a staple of a sitcom. A multicam. You got to represent yourself in court.
Oh,
so,
man.
At one point, Vale Leifso, an Ontario farmer, yelled at Arlen, I've got places I gotta be. I've got 1,000 things to do at home, and I'm sitting here in a courtroom answering these stupid questions. So Arlen brought up, Arlen was like, the defense calls Vale Leifso to the stand. And he's like, Vale, how's your day going? That's not what we're here for, Arlen.
That's so funny.
He's like, I'm new with this lawyering thing.
Making small talk, yeah.
So it took the jury just 2 days to find Arlen guilty. He was sentenced to 7 years and 3.5 months in prison. I love that the jury probably also, because he drug out this court case because he doesn't know what he's doing, was like, they went back there for 2 days, looked at them birds, and were like, I don't know, just wrap it up, eh?
Yeah.
He's guilty, eh?
Yeah.
So on June 17, 2015, Arlen was released on parole and had been staying in an undisclosed community residential facility ever since. The victims never saw their money again.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
So that's the thing about the end of a Ponzi scheme is the people who get in on a Ponzi early, they can make most, if not all of their money back. It's the people that you start roping in at the end who are never going to see any returns because your money is just being funneled to pay back the initial investors.
Yeah. And what year did this end around?
This ended in 2008, which is also a horrible financial time for people
that's
in
what
general.
I was gonna, yeah. It's very ironic that it ended this way for him when in over in America.
Right.
People like, oh, man, they couldn't buy a house yet. It's sad.
But if you think about predating 2008, a lot of people were making crazy money, you know, dealing with the housing market on the stock market and, you know, these illegal balloon payments and things that they were doing.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy. They were all profiting off of it. So what if some of these people were profiting to the point that they were like, I don't know, pigeons? We invest in that? Fuck it. We ball. Like, we got so much money from, you know, the stock market. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not pigeons? Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they're like, why not? We got all the money in the world. We might as well give a little bit of it to pigeons. And we're going to end it with this, Trey.
Okay.
In 2017, an Ontario-based theater festival, Blythe Festival, wrote an original play with music about Arlen called The Pigeon King. Is there any of the... Okay, so...
They got
a nice set piece here. There's pigeons in the back. We got a judge. I love that they kind of matched Arlen's drip. It's a very Easter-esque suit with this loud teal tie.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I need to hear a Pigeon King song.
Yeah. This is like cats, but for pigeons.
We have one.
For us as an entrepreneur to be considered leaders in their community.
A weem away, a weem away, a weem away, a weem away, a weem away.
Oh my God.
I need lyrics, come on now. Don't disappoint me.
It's gonna get us 10. It's not a matter of if, but maybe it's a matter of when. We're gonna raise a roof. Through the roost. Cause finally, we're gonna get that boost.
Turn this shit off. I can't believe how horrible that was.
Yo, Pigeon, the music. Yeah, that was, I mean, I was like,
I was expecting something. I was really expecting some hits.
Yeah, I was open to it, but it's like, all right, that's probably, they need to go to jail for that.
Right next to the Pigeon. They need to be in prison next to the Pigeon King for this shit. I can't believe this.
Yeah, that's probably worse than what my mans did.
And this is an easy layup. What do you mean you don't know how to do the Pigeon King song?
That's it. I mean, at least I need a Netflix series called The Pigeon King.
I do. I definitely do. I want to see him all around town. I want to know how he was balling out super hard with the pigeons.
Yeah.
I hope he has some pigeon groupies. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some birds.
He did, yeah.
Because that means two things.
While his wife was... Oh, yeah, his wife divorced
his wife left him.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe she knew what she was doing. I don't know. She might have just stayed for a little bit because she might have, you know, got some of that pigeon wife drip. You know what I mean? She could have been living the life of a pigeon queen.
Yeah, right? Facts.
That would be like, that'd be my horn on my car every time I honk. Like,
oh, that's the pigeon queen.
That's the pigeon queen.
Yeah.
Fuck out of my way.
I had no idea. Right. They cut you off. They hear that horn. It's like, oh, my bad.
I trained some of them to follow my car like in a V shape. Like,
yeah.
Gang, gang.
Yeah. Well, now I'm thinking, it's like, there was no superpower. It's like, what is this? Like, to control pigeons, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to see that.
Yeah, I do too. I want to see them race. I mean, this, I guess in theory, this sounds interesting, but I'm like, if it's racing away from you, do y'all have like a drone following it or how do we know?
Yeah.
Maybe they put like little trackers on them.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if the pigeon just... There's so many questions.
There's so many questions. That's why we need a movie. We definitely don't need this musical. That was terrible. I can't believe y'all did that to me. I had such higher expectations, and y'all need to go to jail right next to the Pigeon King. Book them. Well, that brings us to the end of a fantastic episode. Thank you so much, Trey. This has been a long one.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, thank you. I learned a lot.
I did, too. Some against my will, Judith.
That was for science.
We always ask at the end of the show, where would you like to be found? Anything you want to plug? Any social media?
Oh, yeah. You could, I got a lot of dates coming up. You can just follow me on my Instagram, Trey Stewart, TreeStewart. Number one. And follow me on Venmo.
Yes, follow him on Venmo. The content on Venmo, top tier. Send him some money. Yeah. Hilarious.
Thank you.
But no, he's a very funny comedian. I'm so glad that we got you in today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. And y'all, pre-order my book, It's Not a Scam, Scam Goddess. The link is in our footnotes. Come on, y'all, help me scam the New York Times bestseller list. It's out November 10th, 2024, honey. And also, you can follow me at D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. And if you would like to see these photos of this pigeon, and you know what, I want part of this video, Judith, because I will not be the only one who will be submitted to this damn torture of this pigeon play, because it was terrible. Everybody. And I'm pissed. Birdman hand rub, if you would like to see the photos, go to Scam Goddess Pod on Instagram, and I'll be posting all the photos and videos from today's episode. Congregation, y'all get out there. Get out there and y'all just, y'all stay pigeon.
Stay pigeon. Yeah, fly the coop.
Fly the coop. Congregation, fly the coop, okay? Yes. Scam Goddess.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo, and our audio engineer is Rich Garcia. Research for the show is done by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.